For many locations around the world where U.S. troops are deployed, one of the only ways to get electricity is through gas generators. Not only are they noisy, but they also require constant resupplies through fuel convoys, which are often a target for enemy attack. But scientists working on the problem for the Office of Naval Research say they've just successfully tested an alternative to generators. The Whisper Quiet new fuel cell unit produces the same amount of power as a gas generator on half the fuel, and they're looking at ways to make it even more efficient. Don Hoffman, program officer for power generation and energy storage systems at ONR, talked with me about how the technology works.
A fuel cell is an electrochemical power system. It's configured like a battery. You have an anode and cathode, but operates like an engine. So in operation, a fuel cell will directly convert the chemical energy of the fuel into electricity through a reaction with the oxygen in the air and hydrogen fuel. This is different from the combustion process that we have in traditional engines. For military applications, we perform or break down the fuel, the logistics fuel such as JP-8, into hydrogen fuel for use in the fuel cell.
And what's the reason for the use of JP-8 in particular? Is that just because that's what would typically be found in a tactical situation, or is there something special about JP-8 for this purpose?
No, JP-8 is a standard logistics fuel that's used for battlefield use for the Army and for the Marine Corps.
And fuel cell technology is not exactly new. What's the breakthrough here on this particular program?
Well, fuel cell stacks have been around for a long time. The breakthrough has been how to compile or how to generate a complete fuel cell system. It's how to do that in a very compact and efficient manner. So how to get it in the same package size and weight as a traditional generator and also produce the same power quality output.
The release that you guys put out talked about a 44% reduction in the use of fuel compared to a traditional 10-kilowatt generator. For people who aren't that familiar with power metrics, talk about what that fuel consumption means and what a 10-kilowatt generator could actually produce in terms of what it could power.
Well, typically a 10-kilowatt generator is very similar to your home generator. It can power, it's set up to power forward operating bases for whatever use or loads that they need. What happens is that the efficiency scale goes to the highest efficiency occurs at the highest part of the rated power for the generator set. On a fuel cell, for example, you're starting with a higher efficient process in the beginning because you're directly converting the fuel, the chemical energy itself. You don't pick up the associated losses. But also it's designed to pick up the highest rating of efficiency at part power, which is where we traditionally run or load our generators overseas.
And so, I mean, obviously the most glaring benefit of this in a tactical situation would be the reduced logistics tail that you need to bring fuel onto the battlefield. What are some of the other benefits of an item like this as opposed to a traditional diesel generator?
The efficiency, and you're correct, is the obvious factor. So you're reducing the overall fuel consumption, reducing the number of convoys for resupply. But the additional also is a reduced noise. So you're comparing a diesel generator, again, such as your home generator, would be equivalent to a noise level of a fuel cell is roughly equivalent to level of a refrigerator. So you're improving the overall living conditioning of the warfighter who's living day in and day out next to that.
And I would assume in some cases that another advantage would be you're not necessarily as easily giving away your position to a potential enemy.
Correct. That's right.
How ready is this technology for prime time? Is this ready to deploy to the battlefield now?
Well, we tested this. The solid oxide generator is right now at a technology readiness level of 5. Fuel cells in general are real, and they're actually in use by militaries. You know, the German Navy has them for electric power in submarines. The U.S. Navy uses them on submarines, actually operating in reverse to generate the oxygen. But in this system design, it's at a TRL 5. We performed the demonstration of the technology, which shows potential for limited deployment after going through a series of militarization or hardening. Large-scale deployment, getting it out in large numbers, there's a lot of factors associated with that. Things like growth of the commercial industry to support deployed numbers, increase of manufacturing capability, improvement in materials. It goes along the same path of development path we walked through with our shipboard gas turbines very early on.
I'd imagine that this is one of those things where the costs decrease as the technology improves, and that those factors that you were talking about a second ago, manufacturability increases. But as of now, what would the cost of one of these units, how would it compare to a traditional diesel generator?
It's difficult to say, because what you're talking about is not only the stack, but the total system, and also going into the militarization. So, we performed the demonstration and looked at the performance and the capability and the benefits, and that's really what we are examining. The cost factor, once you get into the militarization, you start understanding what occurs to deal with the factors such as shock and vibration. You get a better understanding of what those costs are, plus also how many numbers you actually need for a mission deployment.
Looking down the road, are there any obvious limiting factors that would prevent this kind of technology from one day replacing our use of diesel generators entirely?
Again, this goes very similar to what we saw with other power generation systems. The other factors would be an improvement in materials. So how to best deal with the ruggedness and reliability from contaminants from a military environment. So as we go through and look at the effects of that as we progress down the development path, those factors, how they improve the ability and the reliability of the system, plays into that as well. The better your materials, as they improve overall, the better the ability to you'll have to take over for widespread use.
Beyond the use of something like this on at a forward operating base, are there any other obvious military applications that you would look at?
We looked at it for forward operating bases for APUs. In fact, they're being used, looked at across the DOD and DOE right now. So they're looking at it for portable power systems, unmanned vehicles, large ship power we're looking at for initial designs, APUs for tactical vehicles as well.
Do these units create any kind of emissions the way a diesel generator would?
Well, it is just like a diesel, so you're going to be putting out the same output. The only element that's not being produced, because you don't have the combustion process, is NOx. So the factors for SO2 and CO2 and things like that, that'll go along. Because you're operating at a higher efficiency, you have reduced numbers, just that the NOx numbers are very minimal.
Are there any disadvantages to a system like this vice a diesel generator?
The diesel generator right now is designed to start up very quickly. So they're traditionally, you're up in just a few minutes. A solid oxide system, because it's based on a thermal a temperature process as well, once you have to bring it up to a certain temperature. So you have to take a certain amount of time to bring that temperature up. You can't bring it up at the same time span. So as opposed to a couple minutes, you may take 15 to 30 minutes to bring up, depending on the system and the type.
Okay, and then finally, following this successful test at APG back in June, what are the next steps you guys are looking at for the system?
Well, we're looking at it for two steps. One, we've transitioned to other services for them to take a look at for further militarization. From our standpoint, we're looking at the effects of alternative fuels, such as biofuels, how to best even improve on the power density for these future advanced fuels coming down the road. It worked out very well as far as a successful demonstration, and hopefully we see the progression of it as we go through more into maturing and getting deployed.